This morning, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about, well, it kind of goes with what Rick was saying. What is our responsibility? What is our job as Christians, as churchgoers? What are our responsibilities? What are our responsibilities? What is our most important responsibility as Christians within the church, within the body of Christ? What is our most important responsibility? Have you ever thought about what it would be like had there been no Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? There would be no Jesus. If there were no Jesus, then there would be no God as we know it, because the two are one. The three are one. Because if we believe in Jesus to be who he is, then we have a triune God. That means if there is no Jesus, there is no triune God. So, if you say there is no Jesus, then there was no God. So if there was no God, and we were just living in an existence that was just dependent upon your doing what you can do to get by and live life so that you survive and only you mattered, life would be a little bit different. Or would it? How many of us would it truly impact our lives if we changed that mindset? How many of us truly do focus on the fact that we're living our lives for Christ, or are we living our lives for ourselves, and the fact that Christ died for our sins is just an added benefit? The point I'm trying to make here is the way the world goes is not too different than the way your individual life goes. And if we don't impact it individually, as a whole, the world is not going to change. Individuals have an impact on the world whether you realize it or not. And because Jesus was who he was, he made a great significant impact on the world, and the world has changed because of that. The world has been impacted significantly because Jesus is and was and will continue to be. So, you take the fact that Jesus is, and Jesus was never out of the picture. He was always in the picture. Everything that was always created with him having connection to it. Everything that ever was because he was. You have his stamp on it in some way, shape, or form. Not a stamp of approval, necessarily, but a stamp of my hands have created this world that we live in. Not that I have caused it to go the direction that it's gone, but I have created it and I have let it be because I want the relationship that my creation is in with me to be a relationship of choice, a relationship of love, because I display my love to you, I want that love to be reflected back to me. So in short, this whole thing about whether or not we're living our life for ourselves and the fact that Jesus died for us is just an added benefit, or whether we live our lives for Jesus, that's something deep and significant to ponder in your brain, in your mind. Think about that. Are you living for Jesus, or are you living just to live and are just so glad that, hey, you have the hope of heaven because Jesus died for you? Or are you truly, truly willing to give your life for him as much as he was truly willing to give his life for you? That's a daily choice. And you're saying, here he is going again, this choice, daily choice thing, daily choice. Well, it's, I can't say it enough. You might say, yeah, you can, Dean. You say it way too much. Well, I can't emphasize it enough. It's so true that the way we live our life reflects whether or not we do live our life as a servant or as a, let's put it in the easiest terms to say, not as an independent, even worse than that. It would be as a, what's a leech? A freeloader, but what? Parasite. As a parasite. Do we live our lives as a parasite or as a partaker of grace? Freely choosing or as a parasite of grace? Choosing when we want to latch on and when we want to just take off. Or are we truly living in grace, a part of it, a part of the whole package, a part of the whole picture? Or are we just latching on when it's convenient and doing like a leech does, filling up with the blood as much as we need or as much as we can fill up on and then letting go and then only coming back when we need our fill again? Some really deep thoughts. There are a lot of people out there who live their Christianity that way. They aren't truly living in their faith and grace. They're living as a parasite on faith and grace and thinking that that's what's going to get them by. And they'll be sadly mistaken. That's why I think it's so important that I make these things known. I'd be amiss if I didn't. That's where Paul picks up in 2 Timothy 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. What's that mean? Preach the word. That means have the good news on the tip of your tongue. Have a message of salvation ready to go at all times. Not just when you've studied and are prepared and are ready to go. Not just when you say, okay, on the calendar I got marked, next week I am going to be Sunday school teacher. Next week I am going to be a VBS teacher. Next week I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. But no, at the drop of a hat, be ready to tell somebody about Jesus and the good news of salvation. Instead of just saying, hey, you know what? I'm not gifted and talented in that. Every one of you is a Christian. You are saved and you are endowed with a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is challenging you at one point or another to tell somebody about the good news. You need to take that opportunity and trust Him, not yourself. That's what in season and out means. It just doesn't mean when you feel comfortable about it. It means when opportunity strikes, you take it. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. It doesn't just mean to tell people about the good news when you know they're not a Christian, but also help to convince people that they need to know about Jesus. Rebuke people when they're living outside of the faith. Exhort people when they're doing a good job in the faith. And with all long-suffering and teaching means don't give up so easily. If people turn away from you and turn their back on you, means don't quit. Keep going at them. Keep trying. Don't give up. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. What's it mean there? It means they want to hear what they want to hear, what makes them happy. They want to hear the God is love, God is love, God is love. Nothing about God is a just ruler who demands justice as much as He is love, yes. But you can't separate God's love from His justice. God is just as much as He is loving. God is just as much as He is gracious. They are all equal parts of God. And He demands justice just as much as He demands His love be served. You can't take one and not have the other. So sin cannot be brought before God just because you think God is a loving God, and because of Him being a loving God, it won't be masked by His love. And this talks about, basically, there are teachers and preachers out there. In chapter 3, it says, men, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. That's a pretty good list of people to be wary of. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Basically taking advantage of the fact that they don't want to be told or be confronted by their sin. They want to just be told that everything's okay. They want to be told that God is loving, God loves them, and everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. God loves you. Never really confront them with the fact that, yes, there's this sin in your life, and yes, it needs to be taken care of. And then, yes, God does love you. Yes, that is true. But you have to have this sin taken care of, too. It's both and, not just this. Or just this. God's not just this bent on serving justice and not dispensing love person. He's both. And He's not just this, oh, lovey-dovey, pour out love on everybody, and not going to stand before you and say, hey, you have to answer for this. It's both. not one or the other. It's both. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. A lot of churches choose for themselves pastors or teachers that tell them the great good news in the words that they want to hear it. The good news that they want to hear, not the true good news in the big capital good news letters, GN, capital GN, but good news in the lowercase GN. The good news that they want to hear. That everything's fine, just keep living your life the way you want to live it, and everything will be fine. Everybody goes to heaven. Everything's fine, don't worry. Everybody gets to go to heaven. And they will turn their ears from the truth, the true word, and be turned aside to fables. Fables being basically untruth. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Talking to Timothy. Don't let them try and turn you into one of these types of speakers. Don't let your church, Timothy, try to tell you this is the message you should be speaking. This is the good news that you should be preaching. You know the good news. Keep preaching it no matter what they're coming up against you with. And when it says that Jesus is going to be the judge, it's not that he's going to judge everybody's sins, because if you've been cleansed of sin, you've been cleansed of sin. When you stand before Jesus in Revelation, it says, the great white throne of judgment. Then I saw a great white throne of judgment in Revelation 20, verse 11. And him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. And the things which were written in the books, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Now, this isn't to say that the judgment that they were being judged on was the work salvation, but as I said last week and as I said before, this represents God's judgment and recorded works of everyone, good or evil. It's not the salvation by works, but works as are seen as a clear evidence of a person's actual relationship with God. Like I've said before, your relationship with God is going to drive you to want to do certain things. You're going to want to do certain things because you love God just as much as you are going to want to do certain things because you love your wife or your husband or your kids or your brothers or sisters. If you love them, you're going to want to do certain things for them automatically. So these are the things that are going to be judged by Jesus on the throne, not are you washed in the blood, are you not washed in the blood. That's an automatic thing when you come before him. He sees that automatically. The other thing is, are you living in a relationship with me, or have you just taken advantage of this grace? Have you been a parasite, or have you been a partaker? Goats, sheep. That's what's being judged at the judgment, not are you washed or are you not washed. Parasite, partaker, parasite, partaker, parasite, partaker, parasite, partaker. That's what's being judged at the judgment. If you're washed, you're washed. If you're not, you're not. It's what you do after the cleansing. It's how you relate to God after the gift of grace that he's interested in. It's what you do. It's how you either thumb your nose at him after he's given you the gift of grace, or how you embrace him after he's given you the gift of grace. That's what he wants to see. Whether you just want to hear, oh, well, I can keep living the way I was living before I received this cleansing of the blood, or I need to allow the Holy Spirit to change me, and I actually need to start living a different life, a life that is free from sin and holy and pleasing in His sight. And I need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through me for that to happen. So, the question isn't just, are you washed in the blood? The question is, what have you been allowing yourself to do since you've been washed in the blood? Are you a partaker and living in grace, or are you just a parasite who is just taking advantage of God's grace? Only you and God know the answer to that. It'll be evident in your works and the fruits of your life, and it will be judged by Jesus. But we all need to be made aware of the fact that our responsibility is to preach the word and to live in the fullness of God's grace, striving to be all that we can be, living in all the light that we have, and striving for more each day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us never to see your grace as something to be taken advantage of and to live as parasites on your grace. Lord, help us to be partakers of your grace and always living in a wonderful relationship with you, striving more and more to know about your love for us and to grow deeper and deeper into a relationship with you every day. Lord, help us also to never neglect an opportunity to help one another or help others grow in that relationship with you or to enter into a relationship with you. We thank you for your love, for your grace. Most of all, for your mercy. I ask now that you would just continue to strengthen us for all that we need to go through this week and in the days to come. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.